Welcome to the PDPW podcast, brought to you by Professional Dairy Producers, dairy's professional development organization.
Hello to all of you be listening here this morning to this podcast from Professional Dairy Producers. It's always a privilege to have an opportunity to talk to all of you for the good work that you do each and every day. I consider myself to be an ambassador of goodness, and each and every day I try to remind other people of how good they are, how significant they are, how important and valuable their work is. I've been traveling recently, going across the state of Wisconsin, talking to people who are highway workers. These are the people who are getting their salt trucks at 3 o'clock in the morning and make sure that the rest of us are able to get to work after a snowstorm. These are the people who make sure that our roadways and bridges are repaired so that trucks, milk trucks, farm trucks, all kinds of things that are transported on rural communities can get to market safely because they have roads that work. Every place I go, I'm finding people that are doing good work, making sure that our lives are made easier by their commitment to a goodness greater than ourselves. I've just completed my 41st year of teaching here at Viterbo University, where I'm the Distinguished Professor of Servant Leadership. But what's really important in looking back is the special stuff in our lives. And I have a folder in my office that says just special stuff. So I'd like to share some of my special stuff with you here today, things that have kind of come into my life and just have given me joy and maybe give you just a little bit of joy. This weekend at graduation, I was the speaker. My grandchildren and daughter came from Chicago, and as the little girls, 9 and 7, got out of the car, they came running up and said, "Papa, Papa, have you prepared your speech yet?" "Yes, girls, I have." "Are we in it?" they asked. "Yes, girls, you are." "Well, when you mention our names, should we stand up and wave to everybody?" "Yes, girls, that would be just fine." And so what happened is I mentioned that on Saturday when I gave the speech, and these two little girls, 9 and 7, so pleased to see their papa up on stage in this large auditorium, stood up and waved to everybody. Special stuff. Innocence, goodness, joy, the love of family, the love of children, hope for the future. Look at the special stuff. Collect it. Savor it. Remember it. Here's one of those pieces that I've always enjoyed. It's about stuff, and all of us have stuff. We work all our lives to buy some stuff, and the first thing we know, we have too much stuff. And when we go on vacation, we have to take some of the stuff along, but we have most of the stuff at home. And then we worry about somebody taking our stuff. When we clean out the attic, we find all kinds of stuff. Some of the stuff is pretty good, but most of it's simply old stuff. At rummage sales, we buy stuff that we usually end up putting in the next rummage sale so other people can buy the same stuff. Sometimes we're really lucky and find really good stuff. We make all kinds of stuff in our spare time. When we have a little extra money, we buy more stuff to make more stuff. We need to eat, but we have to be careful to buy the right stuff. Some of the stuff we buy isn't always good for us. The price of stuff keeps going up, and nowadays we don't get much stuff for our money. But they want us to buy all that stuff. One more thing about stuff. We can't take it with us when we die. I think I have enough stuff, but sometimes I'd like some different stuff. Wouldn't you? Isn't it amazing over a lifetime when I look around my office and all the stuff that I've collected, pictures on the walls, books on the bookshelves, collection of papers or remembrances from cards and letters that were sent by past students, all that good stuff in our lives. Our children were home this weekend, like I mentioned earlier, for Mother's Day. They come from Chicago and Madison and New York City. We only get together 2 or 3 times in the course of the year, but there they all were, and they were sitting around our living room. And our girls, who are now in their 40s, said, "You know, Mom and Dad, we don't want any of your stuff. We have enough stuff." They're minimalists. They don't want to collect stuff. And so we looked at Amish furniture that we've had made. We looked at a dining room table that our mother gave us. We looked at even my mother's dishes that she received when she first got married in 1950. All this stuff, and they're not interested in stuff. What they're interested in is time with their parents, time with each other, time to celebrate, time to savor a good meal, time to remember moments from their childhood, some of which were joyful, others that might be difficult. All of us have stuff. and how good it is to remember some of that stuff. Another piece that I took off the wall of a homeless shelter when I bring my students down to Omaha, Nebraska to work in a homeless shelter where they would feed 300 to 400 people breakfast and lunch every day for over a week. These amazing students were willing to drive 500 miles to Omaha, Nebraska and sleep on the floor of a homeless shelter so that they could get up in the morning and serve the people of the streets. And one of the things I read on the wall there and wrote it down many years ago, and I enjoy this. One way to guarantee unhappiness is to believe that you can get everyone to like you. Yet many people believe that's possible. We're told as children that everyone will like us if we behave properly. If they don't like us, we feel it's our fault. We put our energy into appealing to people we may not even respect. We reel from the pain of a slight rejection. We try not to make enemies. There's no life possible without enemies. If you have no enemies, you're not doing anything. Cherish your enemies. They're a wonderful source of energy and occasional thrills of self-righteousness. Examine your enemies. Make sure they are the right kind of people. Keep worthwhile enemies to about 5, and once in a while, reevaluate them. When there are more than 5, take one to lunch. Enemies can become friends, often with only slight adjustments. Something drew you together in the first place. Evaluate your life by the reactions you stimulate in others. Keep them strong and recognize they are a measure of your commitment, your willingness to take risks, and the quality of your life. I like that. How many times do we feel it's our fault that other people might not like us or other people do not understand us? We're all human beings. We all have faults. We all have been hurt by others. We all have hurt other people. I think back now in terms of 41 years, and I'm so grateful for my friends, my colleagues, and my adversaries. Those people who have not agreed with me have helped me to clarify my thinking. Those people who have not liked me have helped me to build a sense of resilience that I would not have had. How important it is to be respected, not always to be popular. And that's what's really important within our own culture. If you're going to be a leader, you must be willing to step up and step out. I have a little sign in my office that I'm looking at right now. When people are running out of town, get in front of the crowd, make it look like a parade. How important that is. Over a lifetime, I'm sure that not every student who sat in my class liked the class. I'm not sure that everyone really meshed with my personality. Maybe I was too loud or passionate or talked too fast. But I do know this. I do know this. When you're true to yourself, other people develop a level of respect for your authenticity. It's some of that special stuff. One of the things that I've had the privilege of teaching over the many years is teaching compassion to my students, to be aware of and concerned for the needs of other people. Like I'd mentioned earlier, I've been teaching a class on homelessness. When we first started teaching it in the 1980s, hardly anybody was talking about homelessness, but by now we look at it as epidemic across our country. In every city, large cities and small towns, we find people who do not have enough money in order to afford rent or mortgage payments, people that are living in their cars, people living on the streets, people living in tents. This is not only at our borders, this is on the streets of this country where people do not have enough money to rent a place in which to live. Oftentimes, it's because of hard traveling. Oftentimes, it's because of poor choices. Sometimes, it's just bad luck or a health crisis that's taking place. 85% of the people living in poverty are women and children. The average age of a homeless person in this country is 9 years of age. So through this course, I try to offer solutions as to what we might do to alleviate homelessness within the country. However, what I want to teach my students is levels of compassion. Not every social problem can be solved with policy. Most social problems need to be addressed with compassion. And one of the things I asked them to do was to read the paper carefully, look for moments in which they might be able to serve. And a number of years ago, we read this article about a man whose right arm was severed when the trash bin he was sleeping in was loaded into a garbage truck, and he was in serious condition and taken to Rochester. What had happened is that this man, in order to be warm in the midst of the night, cold January night, climbed into a dumpster and slept amongst the garbage. He was sleeping so soundly that when the truck came at 4 o'clock in the morning, it picked up the dumpster and it emptied it into the truck and was crushing the garbage, and his arm got crushed and severed in the process. people heard him calling out for help, they stopped and they saw what had happened to this man, his mangled arm, and got him off to the hospital. We talked about that. We talked about a man sleeping in a dumpster because it was cold and he had no place to go. We talked about that at some point he had a mom and a dad. When he was brought into the world, he was a precious little boy. Growing up, he probably had brothers and sisters. He went to school. He had teachers. He may have played on teams. Who knows? Maybe this man served in the United States military after graduating from high school or went on and took another job. But what leads a man at 37 years of age to find himself living and sleeping in a dumpster? We wrote to the man in the hospital. We sent him a card. We sent him our prayers and our best wishes. The students had taken up a collection. We sent the man some money so that while he's in rehabilitation at the VA hospital where he's staying, is that he'd have money for the canteen, for coffee and gum and chips and those kinds of things. And he sent us back a letter, really special stuff. He writes, "Dear students and faculty, sorry it took long to get this letter off. It takes all day for me to write while I print with my left hand, for I was right-handed. I'm doing much better now that the stub is healing. The doctors couldn't save the arm, so they took skin grafts off the bone and thigh and sewed and stitched over what was left of the bone and muscle. I sure wish they could have saved the arm, but as long as it couldn't be done, I'll have to deal with it and live life for what it is. After about a week in intensive care at the VA hospital, I started occupational therapy so I can do everyday things, basic things in everyday life, doing the usual things with my left arm until I'm healed and Stubby is able to have a prosthesis. That will be about 2 months from now. Until then, it was simply a healing process. Phantom pains hurt worse than the stub. I thank you for the nice card and the money and the clipping from the paper. Your prayer and good wishes are very well appreciated. You people are God sent." Care for the stranger. Compassion. Recognizing that all of us have stuff, maybe sometimes too much stuff, we get rid of it, simplify our life, and make space for others. All of us have moments in which we connect with other people and be deep and abiding friendships, but at times we'll have adversaries who will challenge us to rethink ourselves, will challenge us to remain people of integrity, authentic in our purpose. All of us will have moments in which we have the opportunity to reach out to the stranger. All of us will have those precious moments when our children come home and our grandchildren say, "Papa, Papa, are we in your speech?" Yes, girls, you're in my speech. But most importantly, you're in my life and always in my heart. That's the special stuff in our lives. Nurture it. Savor it. Celebrate it. It's all good stuff. Thank you for allowing me to kind of take this trip down memory lane, sharing some special stuff from my special folder. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Our thanks to Tom Thibodeau for today's message. Tom, a distinguished professor of servant leadership at Viterbo University. And for archive podcasts and more on-demand programs, and for more on the professional development for today's dairy producer, head to pdpw.org. Until next time, have a safe and productive week.